All we need is you, Lord. We don't need anything else. We just need you, Lord, because in you we have everything that we need. Thank you, Father, that we can just give this time to you now as we are going to sit around your word. And I pray, Lord, that your word will fall into fruitful soil and that it will be a blessing to the hearts of those who hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So good to see you all. And so from my side also, may you be blessed in this year to come. I ran uphill last year, and it's no wonder that my legs are hurting. I don't know about you, but 2025 was absolutely wild. We faced many personal challenges. Among others, in the span of 10 months, we helped my parents move twice. We helped Sunay, our daughter, move twice and three times in between, trying to fix a mold problem in her flat. And we did all of that while she was studying a very intensive honors degree and having to make ends meet in terms of her time and so on. And that was only the backdrop for some other very, very difficult challenges, things that took a very deep and emotional and spiritual toll. So by the end of September, I was so ready to retire, let alone go on holiday. I don't know about you. So I heard many people say that it was a tough year. But here we are. And I hope, like me, you are also ready to do it all over again. And if I have to choose one sentence to describe 2025, I would say God is faithful beyond my comprehension. So on a lighter note, I heard this little story. And it makes me think of last year. If you are a springbok and you wake up in Africa, you know you have to run faster than the fastest lion. But if you are a lion and you wake up in Africa, you know you only need to run just a little faster than the slowest springbok. Either way, when you wake up in Africa, you know you are going to run. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. I wish I could tell you that 2026 is going to be this easy, stress-free year. But if I understand Paul correctly, if you are a Christian and you wake up in Africa or anywhere else, you are going to run. And if we are going to run, then we should run to finish well. As I reflected over last year and everything that happened, I found myself many times asking the Lord, please, 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 just let it be easier. And the more I asked him this, I had a clearer sense in my spirit every time I asked him that we will never have a challenge-free life this side of heaven. It's just impossible. The only way to make it easier is that we run the right way, that we discipline ourselves, that we train well, that we engage challenges with purpose and on purpose. Did you know that when you run away from a lion, you run with purpose? But when you run the comrades, you run on purpose. I rarely run on purpose. The point is, nobody runs by accident. We always run with a purpose. I don't like physical running at all, and I'm no expert, but I have heard some athletes say some things. And if you want to run a race well, you need proper training, and discipline, you need the right gear, you need a race plan, you need a diet plan, and all of those things work together to make your race easier. And I think if we pay attention to some things in the spirit, we will also have an easier race. The discipline and the training and running with purpose is the theme of Hebrews 11, where we read about the faith heroes. And it's a very long chapter with many names and many stories that I cannot pay attention to this morning. But if you go home, please go and read it. It's an amazing, amazing chapter. The writer of Hebrews sums it up as follows. He says, "How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of the faith of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight." And in the light of their stories, enter you and me with our battles that kind of looks like a walk in the park compared to what these people faced. We may not have faced war personally, or a lion, or flames, or the sword. Nonetheless, it was difficult, and it still hurt. And sometimes I think we over-spiritualize the battles of our lives. So sometimes we think other people have far worse battles than we do. And other times we think it's such a spiritual thing that the things we struggle with in the day-to-day don't seem like battles. But here's the thing. Our spiritual battles happen here on the floor, in the dust of our day-to-day living. So those things that were hard last year were battles, and they were profoundly more spiritual than you think. We may battle sickness and financial hardship or troubles in our relationships, difficult work situations, etc. I want to quickly look at one story from Hebrews 11, and that's the story of Moses and his parents. We read in verse 23, "It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. They saw that God had given them an unusual child, and they were not afraid to disobey the king's command." Now, some translations don't say unusual, they say he was comely or beautiful. And to me, it's just so amazing that the beauty of baby Moses stirred faith in his parents' hearts. And it made them so strong that they were not afraid of the king. And I want to suggest to you that God places beauty, or that something unusual that is worth fighting for, in the middle of every battle that you face, so that it can bring perspective and it can grow your faith and make you strong. In verse 24 to 27, we read, "It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin. He thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking ahead to his great reward. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible." Moses is one of those people that runs on purpose. Moses could have lived an easy life, stress-free, full of riches, but he refused to do that. He actually chose to suffer with God's people, and that is suffering on purpose, or running on purpose. The reason why he refused was that his eye was on the prize, and the prize was Jesus, the Messiah, Christ the Messiah. He had a revelation in his spirit of Christ. Moses faced a lot of hardship. What kept him going was that promise, the promise of the Messiah. And other faith heroes had the same faith that looked beyond the pain of here and now to Christ the Messiah. These people knew something in their heart of hearts that I think we sometimes forget. Hebrews 11, 13 to 16, we read, they agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. They were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. The first part of verse 13 says, all these people died still believing that what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it from a distance and welcomed it. Why did that happen? Just the first verse that we read about them said they received what God promised, and now it says they did not receive what he promised. They did not come into the fullness of that promise. So they held on to the promise of Christ the Messiah long before he was there. And that's the reason why it was for us. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. They were paving a way for us. These heroes kept in mind that they were not from this world and they were not of this world, and they had a revelation of Christ in their spirit. They did not live for this world, and they did not allow the circumstances of this world to shatter their vision or their resolve to attain the prize. This modern world, with all its technological advancement and human rights, may have brought you and me to believe that it's absolutely unimaginable for God's people to suffer. And that's a lie. It's not the truth. And then we think, it's not imaginable for God's people to suffer. How on earth do we choose suffering like Moses did? The fact is, no matter how advanced our society becomes, suffering will always be part of it, because this world broke. And it's still breaking. And it will continue to do so until Jesus returns. So sometimes I have conversations with God about this brokenness, much like the one that Jeremiah had with God in Jeremiah 12, verse 1. He said, Lord, you always give me justice when I bring a case before you. So let me bring you this complaint. Why are the wicked so prosperous? Why are people so evil people so happy? Do you have conversations like that? Does it sound familiar? Lord, what is this person doing to me? Have you seen that? And while we are on the subject, when are you going to sort out the economy and the government and the potholes and the service delivery? Why do I have to suffer so much? Why do evil people get to live in big houses and have nice everything? Do you have conversations like that? Be honest. We do. We all do. In Jeremiah 12, verse 5, God answers him and me and you. He says, if racing against mere men makes you tired, how will you race against horses? If you stumble and fall on open ground, what will you do in the thickets? Just like this is not about you. What are you going to do when the horses start running, when I come back? So we have to look at the things differently, the things that happen to us. Paul had a similar conversation with God. In 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, he says about his suffering, 3 times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Isn't it amazing how God just gives us the answers we need, but not the ones we want to hear? And there's many more examples. David called out to God the whole time, like, how long is it going to take? The things we complain about and the things that overwhelm us don't always come close to what Jeremiah and Paul and David and Moses faced. What I realize is that life's challenges don't just go away when we call out to God. It's not like a recipe, a quick fix. It goes bad and now Lord, help me, and then I'm on the other side and it's good. You are running a race, whether you like it or not. And you've got to remain in the race. There's no getting away from facing the challenges. But God wants us to become strong in Him. It's not about the challenge we face. It's about how we grow in it. He wants us to be victorious and to overcome. He wants to work it out for your good. Don't you agree that there is no better feeling in life than when you tackle a challenge and you overcome and you are victorious in the end? Then you say, wow, I made it. Hey, parents know this. When we teach our little children new skills, sometimes they can, this is too difficult for me. And then we say, no, it's not. You just keep on trying, keep on trying. And when they make mistakes, we are very gracious with them. And we give them that space to make a mistake, but to learn from the mistake and to become stronger. And when they master that skill, it's so much joy in the house. Every battle that you have faced was like that. It was for you to overcome. It was designed to train you and to discipline you. So Hebrews 12 verse 11 says, no discipline is enjoyable at the time while it is happening. It is painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. So I want you for a moment to just look back over your year, last year or the 2 or 3 years before that, and just pinpoint that hardest thing that you had to go through in that time. Was it painful? Was God faithful? Did you overcome? Did you grow? Are you stronger? Do you perhaps now feel a little silly like I do, for thinking, I'm not going to get through this. It's going to end me. The peace that you feel now on the other side of that difficulty means that you have grown and that you have become stronger. You may not think you are stronger, but you are. You have been disciplined and you have been trained by it. Training and discipline is not punishment. And for some reason, when we go through difficult things, we always think, why is God punishing me? That's such a lie in the body of Christ. We need to get rid of it. Difficult things is not punishment. It is to train you and to discipline you. You can ask any athlete and they will confirm that muscles hurt and sometimes injuries happen. You don't just give up when that happens. You rest, you heal, you work on those injured muscles, you rehabilitate them, and then you get back into the race. But it involves pain. And I see a danger in Christian circles for thinking that every difficult circumstance must be some kind of attack from the enemy. When we do that, we will be shadow boxing. There will always be some kind of demon out there to get you behind every bush. We cannot run a race like that. It's a very passive way of living. When we embrace the difficulties that come our way within the grace that God gives us, like He said to Paul, my grace is all that you need. It's more than enough. In that moment, we are able to grow from it and to be disciplined and learn from it. I don't know about you, but I would rather embrace the pain and let it work out some things inside of me for the glory of God and for my own good than walk around feeling that there's some demon that's going to jump on me right now and he's just too powerful and too resourceful for me. I don't want to live like that. The truth is, the enemy is probably out to get you because you said yes to Jesus. But the only way he can overcome you is if you start to doubt in God's faithfulness and in His character in the midst of your trouble. For example, when Job lost everything, it was the devil's work, but it wasn't because he wanted to see Job suffer. It was because he wanted to see Job sin in his suffering. And we need to make that distinction. There will always be some kind of challenge or difficulty in life. What you do in the midst of that is what is going to determine if you win or lose your race. Back to the faith heroes. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith." So here is what you need to know about running the race. First of all, let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. You need to know that God sets it before you. This means that you are not set up for failure. God has given you everything that you need so that you can be victorious. We are surrounded by witnesses. People who have been there, who have run their race. They endured, they overcame, so can we. The faith heroes finished their race, and they are a testimony to the faithfulness of God and to His grace. We must learn to run our race in the same way. They embraced their suffering. They remembered that they were temporary residents on earth. They kept their eyes fixed on the promise of Christ so that you and I may also receive Him as our prize along with them. Their weakness was turned into strength, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 34. So your weakness, that area in your life where you feel like I just don't have what it takes, does not predict the outcome of your race. Your weakness can be turned into strength. As a matter of fact, that's the place where God's power works the best, in your weakness. There are some things that can cost you your race, that can cause you to lose. And if we deal with that, our race will be easier and we will overcome. So we have to strip off the weight. The Amplified says, "Let's strip off and throw aside every encumbrance or unnecessary weight." I want to ask you, what weight are you carrying? Did someone hurt you or break your trust? Is there a heaviness in your spirit, like a big, thick coat that's weighing you down? Is the trauma from past things still holding you back? Did you do something that you think is absolutely unforgivable and it's disqualifying you? You cannot run this race with all those heavy things. It's weighing you down. Can we for a moment just close our eyes? And maybe you can do a prophetic action, like take that heavy thing on your shoulders and just physically cast it to Jesus. Because we are going to pray now. You don't need to carry it anymore. You have a race to run. Father, we cast off the heaviness. We let go of the hurt. We let go of the shame of rejection. Right now, we choose forgiveness over vengeance. We release those who hurt us. We let go of our fears, our worry, our exhaustion. Thank you that you turned the weakness of the faith heroes into strength and that you also promised the same for us. Amen. I want you to take that heaviness, throw it off. But if you need to talk to someone about it, please, 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 don't carry it alone. If you struggle to let it go, but lay it down, it's holding you back. Then the next thing that can cause you your rise is sin. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, and that sin which so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to us and entangles us. I'm not going to say much about sin, except that it is like something that tangles around your feet. And you cannot run a race when your feet are tangled up in something. Remember, the enemy's plan is not to see you suffer. It is to see you sin. And you will know in your heart when the Holy Spirit is convicting you of sin, of something that you need to stop. And all I'm going to say is be obedient, repent, and stop it. Because you have a race to run, and you have to run to win. There's no rocket science about it. Okay. Then the last thing that I want to look at that can cost us our race is distraction. It says looking away from all that will distract to Jesus. You will always run towards that thing that you are looking at. And if you are running to win, you cannot run while you are looking at other things instead of Jesus. Sometimes when life is very painful, we like to distract ourselves. So some people get into substance abuse and things like that. Other people scroll aimlessly through social media. Others just get lost in hobbies and busy work. And we fool ourselves into thinking that when we are so busy, we are running and we're still in the race, but you're not. There's a big difference between running away and running the race. You've got to get back into the race. What you are looking at is distracting you. And you will run to what you are looking at. And maybe if you look at your distractions, you might miss Jesus who is waiting at the finish line for you. I'm not saying that hobbies and work and social media in itself is wrong. But what I am saying is that it needs to get back into its rightful place in your life. It's not allowed to be the only thing that you look at. Okay. You have a race to run, and you cannot do it without Jesus, who is the beginning and the perfection of your faith. Okay, so the weight of the past, sin and distractions are the things that will make our race more difficult than it should be. And they are the things that cause injury, not to ourselves, but also to the people around us. They will cost you your victory, so make sure that you deal with it properly. And now you may be sitting there and thinking, but what if I have been running my race, but I am exhausted? And I feel like I'm going to give up because I just can't anymore. What if you have already been injured? Let's look at Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 13. So take a new grip with your tired hands and strengthen your weak knees. Mark out straight paths for your feet so that those who are weak and lame will not fall out but become strong. When you are running a physical marathon and you realize that you are exhausted, there are some things that you can do to remain in the race. Now, like I said, I'm no runner, but I can Google. And it says you have to adjust your pace, which means you can run a bit slower to conserve energy. You must refuel immediately, so you can eat like an energy gummy or drink an energy drink or electrolyte water or something. Breathe easy. They say, like, keep your head and your shoulders relaxed so you can breathe easier. Get your mind back in the race and visualize your finish. But this translates excellently into our race of life, into our spiritual race. So I want to go back to them quickly. Adjust your pace. It is okay to slow down and to take stock of your life. To let go of some things so that you are able to focus on what the Lord has placed before you. You don't have to do everything. It's okay to let go of some of those things and to just like focus again on what has God placed in front of me. And you are allowed to run a little bit slower because God is outside of time and He has all the time in the world. I promise you, you will finish right on time. Refuel immediately. Take in spiritual nourishment that will energize your inner man. You cannot run on empty. There, that one verse of the day that comes on your YouVersion, or that one time that you came out for prayer last year, that is not spiritual nourishment. You need a daily infilling and indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your inner man if you are going to make this race. Okay, breathe easy. Keep your head and your shoulders up and relaxed. And strengthen your weak knees. Those things go together for me. I've had knee injuries. I've had shoulder injuries. I know you can do absolutely nothing without your knees and your shoulders. So what are the things in your life that's knees and shoulders that need to be strengthened? And strengthen those things. Work on them. Deal with the things that are making you weak. And that is just causing you to feel defeated all the time. Mark out straight paths. Walk in obedience to God's word. That's the only straight path there is. Get your mind back in the race. What is the conversation in your head? What are you saying to yourself? Like, I'm not going to make it. I'm not worthy. I will never get through this. I should have stayed in Egypt. God, you are expecting way too much of me. Replace those thoughts with God is for me, like we sang this morning. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm becoming stronger. His grace is enough for me. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Visualize your finish. He is your reward. And that is how we run with endurance. I'm not going to read the next verse for you, but Isaiah 40 verse 29 and 31 says, when we wait on the Lord, He renews our strength. Allow Him to set the pace of your race and to get into that race with you. My prayer is that every battle of 2026 will be yours for the taking because you have God in your corner. And that at the end of your battle and at the end of your race, the same will be said of you that is said of the Israelites in Joshua 21. Verse 44 to 45, it says, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as He had solemnly promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises of the Lord that the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled, and everything He had spoken came true. May that be said of you when you win your race, when you make it to the finish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You are faithful and true. We choose again today to follow hard after You and to walk in all of Your ways. We want to run the race that You have set before us. Help us to throw off the weight and the sin and to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. I pray that You will give us rest on every side, as You did for the Israelites, and that our enemy, the enemy of our souls, will not prevail against us, but that You will help us to be victorious. I pray that every promise You made to us will be fulfilled, and that You will give us the grace to endure the hard things and to enjoy the blessings that You have set before us in this year to come, Lord. Thank You, Father, that we are not in this alone. And I pray Your blessing of rest and peace in the inner man of every person in this place, so that they will be able to run with endurance. In Jesus' name, amen.